Hey guys, this is Bill Oberst Jr. You're listening to 30 Screams or Less podcast. Keep listening.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Hard Eyes. It's directed by Josh Rubin, written by Philip Murphy, Christopher Landon, and Michael Kennedy, starring Mason Gooding. By the way, I just found out that's Cuba Gooding Jr.'s kid. Didn't even dawn on me. Had no idea.
I mean, I wasn't going to say the last name's a dead giveaway because there's plenty of people out there with the same last names that aren't related, but
right.
I knew this just because of Scream.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. Like Danny Glover and Donald Glover. No relation.
None
whatsoever.
I was waiting for you to say they're related. I'd be like, Steve, consult the internet immediately.
No, because you got to believe everything that's on the internet, right? That tells the truth.
You trying to tell me that the internet doesn't lie?
No, what are you talking about?
What you talking about, brother?
What are you talking about, brother? All right. So starring Mason Gooding as Jay, Olivia Holt as Allie, and Jordana Brewster as Detective Janine Shaw. Plot of the movie is, for the past several years, the Hard Eyes killer has wreaked havoc on Valentine's Day by stalking and murdering romantic couples. This Valentine's Day, no couple is safe. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Hard Eyes, motherfucker? Small Fries, motherfucker? All Rise, motherfucker?
Are you done?
What's another one? Hard Eyes, motherfucker.
is that the last one?
No, there's Surprise, motherfucker. Supplies, motherfucker. Some Fries, motherfucker. All Rise, motherfucker. Hard Eyes, motherfucker.
How about now?
Yeah, you good to go now.
All right. From the moment I saw the very first trailer for Hard Eyes, I knew I needed to see it as soon as possible. The character of Hard Eyes was so awesome, menacing, and very similar to Jason Voorhees, who everyone knows Steve and I love.
Mm-hmm.
When I see that a film is classified as a horror comedy, it's usually not at the top of my list to watch. However, Josh Rubin directed a film that I could see becoming a cult classic.
Yes, I agree. I love this movie. And let me tell you why. Because, yes, it's a horror comedy, but I'm not going to just say comedy. I'm going to say rom-com horror because it is like a romantic comedy because of the whole Valentine's Day deal. And there's like your generic rom-com tropes of, you know, boy meets girl, girl like doesn't want to be with the boy, but the boy wants to be with her. And at the end, she's like, I have to go get him. She goes to the airport. Turns out, something else happens. But it is a typical rom-com slasher horror film. I fucking love it, man. It's hitting all my fucking fancy bones.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I mean, we love slasher movies, so I don't want to say the perfect movie because that's a fucking bold statement. But as good as it is for like a slasher to be implementing these kind of story tropes and shit like that, top notch. Thought it was a great movie, man.
It was, and I think the casting was pretty good too. Like Mason Gooding is gonna be a star. I feel like he's gonna be in like pretty much every horror movie now, because I think Hard Eyes might be a franchise. I think they might turn it into a franchise similar to what they did with Smile.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. This could be, I mean, we'll get there, but the way that it ended.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously they left it open. I think maybe we'll get a new one of these maybe every year, every other year, similar to what they did with, like, again, Smile, Paranormal Activity, Saw, what they did for a while.
Yep.
It's so a cash cow.
Yeah, it could be a cash cow. I don't know how it did in theaters, though. I didn't check in on the, like, how much it made and shit like that, but I could see it being kind of an every other year type Valentine Day horror movie. I mean, you don't see those often, if at all.
Yeah, usually, usually
your horror movies, they come out towards the end of the year, you know, October, November, shit like that, right? Or even September, September into October. But you don't see any horror movies coming out around the Valentine's Day time frame. You might see some action rom-com type comedies, something like that, but never horror. It's never really lumped into that category. And I think you're right regarding there could be a sequel and such to that. Are you looking up how much it made, by the way?
Yeah, so gross. So opening weekend, so $8,305 and some change.
Okay.
Gross, $30 million.
All right. I wonder how much
worldwide,
it made.
Worldwide, $32
million. $32 million? Oof, not a lot of money.
No, I don't know what the budget was, but I mean, there was nothing crazy in this film that required a ton of money for, like, visuals and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything. There wasn't a shit ton of, like, CGI and nothing like that. They pretty much used practical effects for the kills and such, right? Other than maybe the arrows going flying, because you're not just going to fucking shoot arrows at people and use practical effects for that. That's insane.
Budget was $18 million.
Oh, that's not too bad then. Almost doubled its money.
Yeah, it made its money back and then some.
Good. Okay, so there's a possibility on the lower end of return, but still a pretty solid fucking movie.
Yeah, you mentioned the arrows. I love the arrows in this movie. They, like, expand at the end when that one guy gets one in the face.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I didn't realize they expand at the end. That's
there's
sick.
Like a button or something, and they, like, extend, and then you push the button or something, and then the barbed part of the arrow just shoots outwards.
Fucking nuts, man.
Remember when that guy got it in the chin?
Oh, yeah. I remember. And, like, the last guy that got it in the... Well, it wasn't like... he didn't get shot in the face with the arrow, but he definitely got stabbed in the face.
Yes,
that
stabbed.
Was gnarly. Ooh. Oh, yeah. The kills in this were great. The opening, man... I love the opening to this movie.
Dude, the opening was like, so it starts and, like, we're witnessing this wedding between these two people and we're like...
Oh, no. Engagement.
Engage. Oh, right.
We have to be very specific here because it is an elaborate engagement clearly for the gram.
And it's fucking funny because you're hearing, again, this is a callback to previous episodes where we talk about how they play those, like, shitty 80s, 90s songs.
Mm-hmm.
But this was so funny because they had someone photographing the engagement. And I'm like, God damn, the soundtrack is terrible. I hate it already. And then later on, she starts walking away. It's a fucking JBL speaker just sitting on the ground playing this music. I was like, oh, my God, that was so funny.
Oh, man, it was a good scene. You know, they're doing their whole bullshit type engagement. So it's super planned because he's on his knees. He's, like, about to propose to his girlfriend and she's mouthing the whole thing. Clearly she told him what he needs to say for this engagement. So that way they can get it filmed and all this stuff. I'm sure they'll put it up on fucking Instagram, TikTok, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously none of that happened because the boyfriend super dead, like ultra dead right away. And then she starts running. The fucking killer shoots her with that arrow in the ankle. No, not in the ankle, in the foot, right? At least the foot.
Yeah, got her in the side of the foot. And then somehow she just ran away with an arrow in her foot.
Oh, my God. Like, there's no way of really getting that out of your foot. It's not like she's going to be able to just break the thing in half and then run off. Because she's already trailing blood as it is. The killer's going to be able to find her, no problem. But, man, she decides to run into, and you know what, we should take a step back because this is all happening at a vineyard. So she's going into, like, where they would put all the wine in kegs and shit, right? And, like, they would squeeze the grapes and all that stuff to get the wine or to start making the wine. And she went into one of those container unit things where they do the squishing.
I was wondering what that was because I kind of missed it. I was like, what did she just hop into? It looked like a giant washing machine.
Yeah, I wasn't sure at first either. I was looking at it like, what is this thing? Lo and behold, the killer finds her in there, and he just starts pushing buttons, and then you see...
Pop.
Pop, like a zit. She just exploded. Oh, it was a great way to start off this movie. Three kills, one of them in epic fashion. And then after that, obviously, we start to meet the main protagonist, which is Allie. And Allie's like your hard worker. She works at a like an advertising agency. And the ads that she created for this company, man, fucking great. It was all like the couples that were getting murdered, like your Bonnie and Clyde. And there was a few others. Oh, Jack and what's her name for fucking Titanic. So she was doing all these scenes where couples were dying. And it was at the same time as the HEK killings were happening, too. So it was like very distasteful. Is that the word I want to use? Distasteful?
I don't even know if that's a word.
It is now.
Yep. It's a Steve-ism.
Yep, the Steve-ism. That's an original right there. But she's at the coffee shop, and this is where she meets Jay. So she meets Jay, and it's one of those, like, meet-cute type things, you know, where they both order the same exact drink.
Did you say meet-cute?
Yeah, that's what they're called. Or is it cute meat?
I don't know what the hell. Cubed meat?
Cute. No, meat? Cute. Look meat it up, cute. Man.
It's like you're saying jack fat, but made up of, like, a different word.
Yeah, exactly. So a meet cute is a scene in media, often a romantic comedy, where two people meet for the first time under unusual, humorous, or charming circumstances.
Did ChatGPT just tell you that?
No, I just looked it up on Google.
Okay.
But that's what it is, because they meet at the coffee shop and they get the same exact drink and they're headbutting each other like crazy. And he ends up with like a bloody nose, all this stuff. So it's one of those meet cute type situations. She runs off completely embarrassed, only to find out that he was called into the advertising agency to help with the whole advertising blunder that she had of like all the fucking couples dying around the same time as the HEK killings. So that's where like the whole rom-com deal kind of comes into play. Have you ever like really watched rom-coms?
Not on my own, but like usually not under my own free will. Like usually okay. I'm watching them because like, you know, Joanne and I will pick a movie to watch together or whatever, or she'll be watching something and I'll take a peek. But I won't go and usually pick one out on my own to watch, you know?
So I will.
I know you will. That's why I figured you'd love this movie so much.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It, like I said, it was just hitting every fucking like fancy for me.
The Notebook's one of your favorite movies.
I think it's a great movie.
It's not a bad movie.
No, I don't. Me, I wouldn't. But... I mean, there's some funny parts in it, but I would think of it more as a romantic drama type movie. So, like, meet cute movies for me would be Hitch. So, there's some great rom-com movies out there. And, like, there's one I just watched, Anyone But You. It's got Sydney Sweeney in it. I think it's funny. Hitman. That's another good one that just came out recently. There's some out there. I mean, even, I guess, True Romance is considered a rom-com. Even though... it's kind of like rom-com slash action.
I feel like I saw Hitman.
Yeah.
Was a famous actress in it, right?
No. No, it's... you're probably thinking Hitman's bodyguard, Hitman's wife's bodyguard, or some bullshit.
Okay. Yeah. Possibly.
Possibly.
Okay. It was a Netflix movie.
Oh, was it?
Hold on.
All right. Look it up. Look it up. But the reason why I like rom-coms is because I get to turn my brain off for typically 90 minutes. It's the same formula. Over and over. Boy meets girl. Girl does some stupid shit and the boy still likes her. And usually the girl runs away. The boy goes for her at the end. You know, they kiss, all that stuff. It's the same shit. Same formula over and over. Different flavor, all that. So sometimes it's just nice to turn your brain off. I think all day. It's the last thing I want to do when I end my work day is think at home.
I don't ever want to think. Not even when I'm at work.
Yeah, I barely want to do that at work too, man. I'm fucking over it.
My vice when I just don't want to think is to throw wrestling on.
That's fair. That's a good one. It's kind of mindless. You just watch it, you enjoy it, and that's it.
Sometimes I don't even watch it until I hear the announcer start like yelling about something, and then I'll look up.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, I know this. I know this wrestler. And then you start paying attention.
Yep.
What is it, AEW you probably watch? No. You watch your deathmatch wrestling.
Yeah, I don't watch anything else.
Yeah, which makes sense. Matches. All you do is just watch violence and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't take much to make me happy.
No. That's it's pretty easy. Beer, violence, and I don't know, spicy food.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, and Taylor Swift.
Okay, all right.
All right, I think I hit them all. So this whole meeting happens, and he decides to ask her out on, it's not necessarily a date, but a work dinner on Valentine's Day. So they go out. She wants nothing to do with this because she's still hung up on her ex-boyfriend who's dating this girl that's like clearly for the gram. All the shit they're posting is all travel photos and things like that. You're very just, I don't want to say put together. I want to say just fabricated. You fabricated bullshit. People only getting to see like the good side of social media. And that's the whole point of fucking social media, is everyone just showing all the good stuff.
Yeah, well, I got news for you, Steve. It's 2025.
No, you send me some shit, man.
I got hacked. That was never me.
Yeah, okay. I just sent you a video that I was thoroughly impressed with, and I think you were completely confused on how it happened. The guy train? That got run over by the train?
Yep.
And
I watched
survived?
That. I was sitting at lunch at work the other day around like a bunch of people, and I watched that video. And they're like, what are you laughing at? And I'm like, ah, just someone getting run over by a train and then walking away.
Yeah.
No selling it.
No selling and getting run over by a train.
It that was had to so be fake. There's no way. He let a train run over his like rib cage.
Yeah. Dude, he must have been a fucking mess. If that was actually real, he was probably a fucking mess for the next few months. But apparently he was drunk, got run over by a train because he was laying on the tracks. The train ran him over and he just got up like, ouch, no sell.
Doesn't make any sense, but...
No, it doesn't make any sense. So, at this scene, they're at the restaurant. Jay's trying to, like, connect with Allie because clearly he has a thing for her from when they first met.
But she, like, hates him at first.
Yeah, she's kind of a dick.
I love the scene with the two of them in the car because she's just, like, that one scene where she's just berating him. And I feel like it was for 10 minutes straight. She's just screaming at this poor guy. He didn't even do anything.
No, he was just trying to be like a nice guy and take her out on Valentine's and get to know her and stuff. And she just was not having it. But what we didn't talk about, and you're talking about the cab ride, right? That one?
Maybe. Where she, weren't they in a car together in the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, like at the beginning of the movie. That's like after they went to dinner. She was kind of berating him in the car and just being kind of a douche. And they end up going to her place to drop her off, and she doesn't have her keys. Oh, this part's great, by the way, where he punches the window, and he's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And he's like, he's got a glass in his fucking hand. He's bleeding everywhere.
Yeah, he's like, hold on, I came prepared. And he, like, wraps a, what was it, like a bandana or something around his hand?
A handkerchief.
And then he's like, oh, shit, I'm bleeding.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. So, great jump scare coming up that I did not see coming.
The closet?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I wrote the same thing. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, I was stuck in rom-com mode that she's just trying to hide a dildo at this point. So, like, Jay's there. She's trying to take care of him. Obviously, she wants to clean the place up a little bit while he's there because, you know, she doesn't want him to judge her. So she takes this giant-ass dildo and decides to bring it over to the closet to throw it in there. And HEK is right there.
Yeah, and pops out of the closet.
Just pops out of the closet. Didn't scare me, but I was like, whoa, did not expect that to happen.
So this actually led to one of my favorite parts of the movie, because I was really hoping while we were watching it that the eyes would light up.
Oh, yeah.
He fucking pops out of the closet and the eyes in his mask start blaring red. And then we get the perspective of the killer, similar to what they did in A Violent Nature.
Yep.
And the inside of the mask gives him night vision.
Yeah, that was sick. They put some money into that mask, man. Let me tell you. They is the important thing, I should say.
Yeah.
But we'll get to it. So, yeah, the killer is, like, they're getting in this big fight. They manage to get away. They run outside. The killer's in pursuit, tries to shoot an arrow at them, and kills the taxi driver who's just hanging out there for, oh, because I think he told him to wait, so that way when Jay came out, he could just hop in the cab. But Hard Eyes killed him, and she ends up getting chased by Hard Eyes because Jay gets knocked out by HEK. You'd think he could get killed by him, but no. So this is where I'm starting to think, like, okay, is Jay involved in this? Is he a secondary killer type deal?
He was definitely very suspicious throughout most of the movie. And there was a scene in the beginning of towards the beginning of the movie that we didn't talk about, where the female cop, did you catch her say that about the Hard Eyes killer? She said, assuming it's a man.
Oh, is that implying it could be a man when it's probably a woman the whole time?
Right. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, was that just like some sort of foreshadowing?
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't even think of that. So, yeah, I didn't pick up on that at all, that it might have been a woman. But here's where I was getting signals that maybe he's the killer. Hard Eyes killings happened in three different states.
Yeah.
And we're talking Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and
Seattle.
Now, Jay was called into that advertising agency. He's like a hired gun. So I'm thinking, okay, is he hired by these agencies and he goes to different places and this is where he does his kills?
Maybe, yeah.
See, that's why I thought it was Jay. But I know, I'm just giving it away now, but he's not the killer. We find out who it is. It was a very weird unveiling later on.
Are we skipping over to the end? Because I think, are we, how, I can't, I'm looking at our time.
No,
oh, I don't want to 25 minutes already, damn.
Yeah, I don't want to go there just yet because there was one scene I thought was really cool. And this is after Allie was attacked and they think they got the killer. They think that Jay's the killer because the mask was near there and they found the knife and everything. The knife, by the way, is really cool. It's really just a machete with knucks on it. So he's got like this fucking badass machete with the knuckles on it. And the killer disappears out of nowhere. He's gone. So the cops arrest Jay. They think he's the killer. And Allie's trying to just swear up and down it's not him because Hard Eyes was chasing him and her. But for some reason, they just wouldn't believe her.
So I originally thought that the killer was going to be some sort of supernatural being because he disappeared like that.
Mm-hmm.
That ended up being wrong, but I thought at first that it might be something like that.
But it makes sense as to why you would think that because with as many killers as there were, what?
No, I say poof, he was gone.
Yeah, he was gone in like no time, just vanished out of nowhere. So I wanted to bring this part up before even jumping close to the end, is that when they went to the police station and Allie is in that waiting area, the jump scare that happened here threw me off as well because she's going towards the closet with the fucking American flag. Like she's going to stab Hard Eyes and the cop opens the closet. He's not there. As soon as you close the closet door, he's right there and he stabs her with the flag.
Yeah.
I was like, this is fucking great because that caught me off guard. I didn't think he was going to be behind that door.
Yeah, no, there were minimal jump scares in this movie. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before where we're not huge fans of a lot of jump scares in a movie.
Yep.
You know, a handful or less, and they have to be done tastefully and really add to the story. And I swear there was like two or three jump scares in Hard Eyes, and all of them didn't take away from anything. They weren't predictable. Most jump scares are predictable for people that watch a lot of horror movies like we do. So, yeah, all the ones that in this movie, you have the closet scene, and then you have this one in the police station, they were very unpredictable.
That's what I loved about it. Very unpredictable. You're thinking, okay, this is a cheesy slasher. He's going to pop up out of the closet in the police station. But I think they did that and like him being behind the door because he already jumped out of a closet that we did not expect. So now we're like thinking, okay, he's in the fucking closet again. He's going to jump out. Nope. Just throws you off. And I like that aspect that we didn't expect really either of those to happen.
Nope.
You and I, we don't really get scared by jump scares. We've watched enough horror movies to go, all right, this is gonna happen. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you learn the setups of when jump scares are gonna happen when you've seen as many as we have, and then like they're meant to scare you when they happen, but you can, from the atmosphere or like the maybe the score that's playing, because a lot of films were kind of give it away. You know when to start clenching your butthole because it's coming, you know.
Yes. Exactly. You know, they do it's almost like a horror hum to it. And it's just like this build up. And then maybe like the music will dead stop. And you're like, all right, well, here's the jump scare. Killer comes in. And we didn't have that. She's just going towards the door. And they're like, what are you doing? There's nothing here. They open the door and boom, there he is. Just immediate stab. It's so quick. His kills were so fast in this. And I love the scene at the drive-in.
Yes. The final scene. Well, they go there twice, technically.
Technically, no. Like, the final scene, that was kind of like your rom-com cute thing, whatever. But I'm talking the first one where they're escaping the police station. And by the way, Devin Sawa's character, Hobbs? Was it Hobbs?
Zeke.
Yes. Well, last name, I thought this was funny because
Hobbs and Shaw.
And it was funny because the detective, Janine Shaw, she was actually in Fast and Furious.
Oh, I didn't know that. So that's why they made that joke.
I think so. I think they tied that in a little bit. I don't know why they would do that, but I thought it was funny.
It was funny, but this, yeah, I know where you're going. Like this whole scene with basically shit hitting the fan
Oh,
yeah, and people are running out of the drive-ins to just try and get away. And Hard Eyes is just walking through the crowd and just stabbing people. He's just walking through it.
Yep.
This scene reminded me of that opening scene in Thanksgiving in the department store.
Oh, yeah. Just pure, utter chaos.
Yeah. You have the killer walking through a bunch of shoppers on Black Friday and just murdering people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Yeah. I love that. I love the chaos.
Yeah. It was great. I thought this was so cool. Ellie and Jay, they go to the drive-in. They're like, ah, shit, we just brought him to a buffet type deal. And I'm like, yep, yeah, he's about to fucking destroy everyone in that place. And he walks up, and there's this one guy just standing by a car, and he does the nod like, hey, what's up?
Smash.
Just stab right to the stomach. Hard Eyes just moving on and just going nuts and killing whoever he can. And then we see Hard Eyes actually get killed by Allie and Jay. And Allie can't do blood, by the way. So she's vomiting all over Hard Eyes. They take.
I love that part because there was so much vomit. And like, didn't she get it in someone's mouth?
Yeah. She got blood in her mouth and then threw up. And I mean, obviously all of that got into like Hard Eyes. And I don't think it got in his mouth, but it was fucking everywhere.
No, but someone said, you got it in my mouth.
Oh, that's because Jay stabbed Hard Eyes.
And, oh, the blood, yeah.
Yeah, the blood got in her mouth. And she's like, you got it in my mouth, and immediately throwing up on Hard Eyes. Now, here's where I was like, that's the unveiling? I was thinking that was it, because they took the mask off him, and it was so, I don't want to say mediocre. It was just like one of those, like, who is it? No one has any clue.
Yeah, like, and I will say that other than us suspecting Jay was the killer, the big reveal at the end, I didn't expect any of them.
No, I didn't either.
Especially the IT guy. That was so random.
Yes, the IT guy was so random because he asked her out at the police station. But part of me was thinking, is he going to be the fucking killer? Because
you thought it right then?
I kind of thought it. I was thinking, like, there's no way that he would just have that kind of like one little line deal and then be gone. It just wasn't adding up.
Okay.
I thought it was, yeah.
Valid
so
point.
That's why I was like, I feel like he's involved somehow. However, here's where I'm wondering why they didn't pick up on this. And you know what? Why don't we talk about the killers?
Mm-hmm.
So we find out that there's actually three killers. There's the Hard Eyes that died at the drive-in. And then there's the IT guy that briefly made an appearance at the police station. And then Janine Shaw, Detective Janine Shaw. I'm like, really? Did not see that coming.
So that reveal, I was like, well, I was half right thinking it might be female.
Yeah, because she brought that up, the foreshadowing. You were right. So
I forgot she was the one that said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Kind of gave it away.
Yeah. So she was trying to imply that she's like one of the killers, or the killer could be a girl and it was her, but it's the three of them. Now, here's my question. So Hard Eyes is going to three different states, or he's been in three different states where he's committing these murders. I mean, we talked about Boston, we talked about Philadelphia and Seattle. Now, clearly Hard Eyes is from Seattle. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. She would be a cop, just hop into different places. Doesn't make sense.
Contract cop.
Yeah, contract cop. Makes sense. Contract cop. Okay. So, yeah, we'll say she's a contract cop, but
we'll put that one on a mug.
Yeah. Why not?
Contract cop. What was the other one?
Oh,
commit to the bit.
Jack Fat. Jack Fat. That's a good one. I think what we need to do is we'll have a silhouette of a person, just fat on the sides, but muscles jacked.
Just like, put a picture of me.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Just a black and white picture of you and just like Jack Fat. You know how like Jones Soda?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Okay.
Picture of you, just Jack Fat.
Wearing a corn t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I like it. So I wanted to like bring this up because I watched the movie. I thought the reveal was good and everything. And then days later, I'm like, wait a second. I mean, is there a plot hole here?
Oh, no.
Okay. So I wouldn't necessarily say a plot hole, but me definitely overthinking. So I'm thinking you have the IT guy and you have Detective Shaw. And they're a couple, by the way. So, like, the two of them, they get off. Like, that's their thing, is they get off on killing people. And there's three of them. One of them's kind of just a, I don't know, a tryhard or something. Or just, like, he follows them. He wants to be part of it, but he's a pawn. So he's a pawn in the whole thing. But if they're both going to these places to commit these murders, they both have to take paid time off, right?
Wonder what the PTO time is like at the police station.
Yeah. So they're taking PTO and they're going to Boston together. And then they're going to Philadelphia together. And you would think that cops would be like, well, that's suspicious. They went on PTO the same exact time the killings were happening. Okay. But I mean, it's easy for them to just maybe take time off and not tell people. But I would also think that maybe HR would go, that's a little weird. I wonder why. What, they must be just lucky or, you know, going to these places and not getting killed.
Yep. Definitely a little luck there.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. That's kind of what I was thinking, though, is that I feel like that would be suspicious if the two of them were taking exact time off, because clearly that establishes they're in a relationship if they're taking the exact same time off. But then going to those places where the kills are happening, I mean, those two things right there is enough for suspicion. And then it's a matter of the cops looking into it. But for the most part, I think cops kind of respect their own. So they're probably not going to even bother questioning them for that sole reason.
Sure.
Whatever. You know, it's like a family. And I mean, I wouldn't know personally, but I hear based on the movies and everything, it's like a brotherhood or, you know, a familyhood or whatever. So I thought this unveiling was actually pretty cool. I did not expect there to be three killers at all.
Nope.
I did not expect even the detective to be one of those killers. So when the unveiling for it being the IT guy, I was like, huh, that's pretty interesting. It's definitely like out of nowhere, but I had the suspicion. I still had the suspicion that Jay was involved in some way or another.
I still can't believe that you picked up on that.
I just thought it was too random.
Well, now that we're talking about it, it makes sense. I just never even considered it.
Well, yeah, because it was so fucking subtle.
Yeah.
And so, like, people that aren't maybe, like, horror experts like us, they would think nothing of it. They would just think, oh, it's okay, some random guy was asking her out on Valentine's Day, and one of the worst places to do all that.
Yeah.
When she's clearly distraught and at a police station. Like, read the room, bud, and not reading the room. So, this is where, when we didn't talk about, they actually end up kidnapping Jay, because she gets a call from Jay, and she's at the airport, and it turns out it's the killer doing one of those ghost face type voices,
mm-hmm.
you know, with where it's like distorted and like almost robotic sounding. So I'm like, okay, they got Jay. But I was still kind of thinking maybe Jay's involved. So we get there, he's tied up, and then we see the hard eyes killer. And he's behind him holding Jay hostage. And then the detective comes out and I'm like, oh shit. Okay. So there's three. We've established the three of them. I had no idea, but thought it was pretty cool. The IT guy, he got a fucking arrow to the face. And that was gnarly, man, because it was like, oh, I don't know, going like through the sinuses.
Straight up through his nose.
Yeah, straight up through his nose and like part of his eyeball.
I thought the best kill here was Crystal.
Wait, Crystal?
Is it Crystal?
Detective?
Yeah, what was her name?
Well, detective was Janine. Are you talking Allie making the kill?
Janine. So Janine's the other woman. Janine's the woman killer.
Yes.
Fucked up. I wrote my note wrong. The way she dies.
Yes. Oh, that was cool. Because they were getting in this battle and she gets pushed towards the knife of, I think it's St. Valentine. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that St. Valentine was executed for marrying people in Rome. Let's see. Story of St. Valentine, a priest in Rome involves his beheading on February 14th. Okay, so that's what they were talking about. I just had to look it up. So the idea is St. Valentine, priest in Rome, and he gets beheaded on February 14th for allegedly defying Emperor Claudius II's ban on marriage and for his Christian faith. So got executed for that. Now that statue was the head of St. Valentine, and I can't remember if it was like a Spartan or something like that. That's what it kind of looked like. So Janine gets pushed back. The sword goes through her neck, and coincidentally, and it's kind of ties everything together, and I love this part, Corey, where her head comes detached from her body.
And it's so slow and drawn out of just, you can see the skin and the flesh and the neck just ripping.
Mm-hmm. It was delightful. It was lovely. Loved it.
I like your choice of words there.
Yep. Delightful. Lovely.
Splendid.
Splendid.
Delicious.
Yep. Delicious.
Mm.
Yes. So yeah, her head is basically in place of where St. Valentine's head was, and she's dead. So Allie goes over to Jay, helps him out. Allie shot Jay, by the way, as a way to shoot Janine.
She manages to fire one bullet.
Yep.
And she hits Jay.
I was fully expecting for her to kill Jay.
Me too. I thought she was like, the best, judging from the way she acted before with the gun.
Yeah, just a straight bullet to his head. And obviously her Valentine's Day is ruined because she lost someone that I think she loves, whatever. And now she has to fend off these two killers. And I thought we were going to get a kind of a miserable ending, but we didn't. So we got the good ending. Janine's dead and she goes to help Jay, who at this point is beat to shit, shot, all this stuff.
He gets it bad throughout the movie.
Yeah, he gets pretty bad throughout the movie. And then the second killer, the guy killer that got stabbed in the face and got like hot wax all over him from the candles.
Mm-hmm.
He comes and he does his final jump scare and he gets killed by, I don't remember what he got killed with, but it was something. I can't remember, but they kill him. And that's basically it. I mean, part of me is wondering, like, how the fuck do you explain all of that? You have a dead cop. You have another guy that's dead. And two lovers who just so managed to get out of there. It's a hard sell.
I don't know. I bought it.
You bought it? It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it magic. So much that I don't give a shit.
Yeah. That's semantics. That's just like a minor thing that did not affect my score the slightest bit. So next, we have our happy ending, which is a year later, Jay and Allie, they're at the same drive-in where all that fucking lunacy happened, kind of like coming full circle type deal. So they're hanging out. Jay takes a box out, and I'm thinking, all right, he's going to propose to her. It turns out it's just a key, like, hey, you can come over to my house wherever you, whenever you want, or I'd like you to move in, that type deal. And I'm like, well, that's a decent ending. And then she proposes to him. I'm like, oh, okay. We got some rom-com shit happening again.
You got all excited.
I got pretty excited because I'm a sucker for rom-coms. And then they get a call and it sounds like Hard Eyes again. I'm like, oh, we have a fourth? Like, is there a squad happening? Is this like
a whole ass Call of Duty squad?
Yeah, a whole ass Call of Duty, Fortnite squad, whatever. I'm like, oh, fuck. We're going to have a squad. We're going to have some sort of cult of Hard Eyes, whatever. And turns out it was just her friend that was messing with them, and she was actually taking a photo of them getting engaged. Kind of like the couple at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So all that kind of comes full circle, and end scene fades to black. I thought it was great.
I thought this scene, when they showed the two of them sitting in the car, they could have been killed off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, we're going to save that for the sequel, where Allie and Jay are the killers.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be interesting. That'd be a hot take right there. Like, hey, someone has to live on with the name Hard Eyes or something like that.
I feel like it's too obvious, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, we've predicted weirder things.
Yeah.
I mean, we predicted that Nev Campbell was coming back in Scream 7.
True.
Yeah.
They're also bringing back a bunch of dead people, so I don't know what the fuck they're doing with that movie.
It makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense, like, why they're bringing back...
We watch Dewey die.
Yes, he's very much dead.
And, like, it pisses me off that they announced that Matthew Lillard's coming back, because, like, why wouldn't you just keep that a secret? That would have been a cool surprise, because people have wanted that for years, because we didn't get confirmation that he died in the first movie.
You're right.
So
we had no idea. We're just assuming that he died because the TV fell on him, but I think there's been plenty of people where TVs fall on them, and they're fine. It's just...
I mean, a TV,
like,
if that one guy can walk away after getting hit by a train, someone can walk away after getting a TV falling on their head.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's fine. Maybe they go back to the scene and they go, where's Stu? And then, you know, years later, he fucking pops up out of nowhere, whatever.
That's what people are like, everything I've read, it's got to be flashbacks.
Yeah. I'm thinking kind of the same deal as Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
Where he was doing, he was kind of like the dark passenger.
Have they confirmed that he's going to be back yet?
No, I doubt it, because she left the franchise.
Well, she got fired.
Oh, wait. Yeah, she got fired. Was it because she wanted more money? Is that what it was?
Melissa Barrera?
Oh, no, no. She said some fucked up shit. That's right.
Right. Yeah. No, she said some fucked up shit about the war.
Oh, yeah. So they're like, uh-uh. Nope, not happening.
Same with Jenna Ortega. And then she left because Melissa Barrera got fired. And she was like, yeah, I'm not doing this without her. So...
Yeah, it's like, well, okay then.
But just because she left the franchise doesn't mean they can't bring Billy Loomis back in some capacity.
Yeah, they might. Maybe they have a Stu and Billy Loomis, not a cameo, but a throwback, or like they're almost like ghosts.
Yeah, bring back Jamie Kennedy too.
Yeah, might as well just bring the whole gang back, because clearly they can die and just come back.
Yep. Didn't they make a comment about that though in one of the Scream movies about they always come back?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it's full circle again.
Yep, comes full circle. They always bring up the horror tropes in their movies. They always bring up like the sequels or the trilogy, All Bets Are Off or whatever, things like that. So they always bring that shit up. But I think we can get into it. We've been talking about this one for a little while. Corey, what do you give Hard Eyes, motherfucker?
Surprise, motherfucker. This is a 5 out of 5.
That's perfect.
I enjoyed this movie so much. The comedy and horror aspects were so perfectly balanced. It reminded me of one of my favorite horror films, My Bloody Valentine, a lot as well. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I could see this becoming a full-blown franchise, like I said before, similar to what that piece of shit Smile has become.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the sequel in a year or two, whenever it comes out.
Yeah, I would love to see a sequel to this movie, maybe even bigger budget. Who knows? I also don't think there was a ton of advertising that went behind this movie.
There wasn't, and I think maybe that's why it didn't make up more money. But when I first heard about it, I thought maybe it was more of like an indie film.
Yeah, it has that indie film sense to it. But obviously, it looked like it was a bigger budget movie. It looked like a movie that is to be in movie theaters. But I'm going to have to agree with you as well. Easy 5 out of 5 for me. This movie was so much fun. Some predictability regarding who the killers were and like from what I thought. And the rom-com-esque moments, which are all pretty much part of the formula for both genres, but it was mixed tastefully. The gore was good. The comedy was really well, too, and I did think there was going to be a Scream deal with multiple killers. I didn't expect there to be 3 in total, though. Good cinematography and a fun love song-filled soundtrack for those who are into the cheesy love songs. This movie's right up your alley regarding soundtrack. Definitely recommend checking this one out because Corey and I were excited as soon as we saw the trailer. Hard Eyes, motherfucker. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.